Tejada, your non-stop entertainment radio.
Morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. You're welcome to another edition of Morning to You. Lovely song there. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the knowledge, insight, and revelation that our encounter with the living word brings. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that is today. Thank you for bringing us into another session where we can get into your presence. Thank you for the presence of your spirit to lead us, to help us glean the scriptures, to come to levels of understanding. Grant us hearts that will be able to understand and comprehend what our eyes are seeing and our ears are hearing from the scriptures. And at the end of it, Lord, let your name alone be exalted. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Remember all our listeners, remember their families, their communities, whatever it is they're going through in their own personal journey and walk with you. Father, we ask that you will strengthen them. We ask, Lord, that you will encourage them. We ask for courage, that they'll be courageous even as they go through, trusting you, knowing that it's not in their own power, it's not in their own strength. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I pray, Lord, you be merciful to them. I pray that your compassion that filleth now will be available to them. And all that you have, you know, made available through their covenant with you, may they come to an understanding of how to connect with it, take delivery, and walk in the reality of the benefits of the covenant in Jesus' name. We want to remember those who, for one reason or the other, may not be here with us. Wherever they are, Lord, be with them, strengthen them, restore, grant them healing, deliverance. And at the end of it, Lord, let your own name be exalted for the things that only you could have done. We ask all of this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Lovely morning to everyone. Good morning, and you're tuned into Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew. Okay, so we want to kick off today. I think I did a pause in our last session, and it was quite essential because we had consumed quite a lot of information, a lot of insight that the Spirit has given us. But I was cautioning my spirit that we should take a time to pause. It's not in the volume of scriptures, but the depth of conviction of what it is he has revealed to us. And I pray that the Lord give us understanding what it is to grow in our depth of conviction. And we talked about the connectivity to the flow of life, so we have to explore that in depth. We could only mention a few things. How the key scripture was John chapter 15 and verse 17. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So it's important that we remain and abide in his presence, and that his words remain in us as well. You know, the Amplified put it this way. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, right? That is, if you are vitally, now this is important, united, okay, and connected with him. So it's important that we're united to his message that lives in our hearts. Then you can ask whatever it is you wish and it will be done for you. So there's a vital connectivity. We've talked about that several times. There's a vital, you know, being united, coming into communion, common union, where we are spirit man and the spirit of the Lord are one, you know, and that unity brings about the blessings of God. And just so important that we maintain that connectivity. Of course, some other versions of the Bible say, without me, you can do nothing. So that connectivity is vital for life. Then we talked about firm belief and faith in the word, which is essential, you know, and you know, says with God nothing shall be impossible. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 19, we mentioned 23 to 26, you know, so the clear distinction that with God nothing shall be impossible. However, when we come into this unity and this communion, we're exalted to a higher position. We are coming into the God realm, we're coming into the God dimension, and we're able to express some of his attributes by reason of our ascension into this prestige, privileged position. And we see several invitations of that, but we have to come in by faith. All right. And then I think the last point I wanted to pass across was having known that we have this connectivity and that we must, the just shall live by their faith. It says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We have that in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. It's emphasized that the power of faith, the faith that you have, suggests that believing in God's ability to do miraculous things opens the door to overcoming obstacles and you know, achieving what seems impossible. So that faith is so important, but it's our subscribing into believing in God's ability. All right, so if you believe that with God all things are possible, and you're believing that God will come through in that situation and circumstance, you demonstrate your faith in Him by the belief, your confession, and your posture spiritually. So that's so important. And so as we go in our work, we're connected, we will have a walk of faith, we understand that, and we practice that faith, activate that faith. Then the important thing is that we can be distracted. Okay, we find that in our world there's so many distractions, and we just like to consider a few of those scenarios in our lives. Every day is the dawn of a new day. We acknowledge Him, we have to appreciate His goodness towards us, His faithfulness, right, you know, to yours, and His protection to each and every one of us in our going out and coming in, His bountifulness in terms of provisions for you and myself, you know. So the question is, when last did you spend time and invest in appreciating Him for what He has done? All right, so these are part of the things that could maintain your sustenance to that flow. So you're constantly in communion with Him, you're constantly in that conversation, you're constantly returning to that place of rest. He says in returning, that's where your strength and your confidence will be. We've had that in Isaiah chapter 30 when we study verses 15 to 22 or thereabout. So it's in returning to that place, okay? And we have to make sure that we're constantly connected, we're in faith, and we're sustaining the flow of life. So of course, if you if you're disconnected, if you drift, which life can cause us to be distracted and drift, then we do not maintain that flow. It's essential for connectivity, for walking in faith, and sustaining the flow of life. So there's a life that we have in Him. It talks about eternity, is that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. All right, so they're coming into that eternal life as a gift, but there's also the sustaining power to give expression to His authority, His power, okay, and the very life, so that you become a conduit. So those were the three major points that came, you know, to my spirit, that I thought we needed to, you know, pause for a moment and really have a proper understanding. And so I hope with that little recap, you know, that's brought us to where we're at. So now, looking further, you know, just to help us, we talked about the fact that due to the uniqueness of our calling, you know, we have to have some form of consecration, you know, and that consecration is something each individual will have to understand and be able to discipline themselves. So based on your calling, you have a specific consecration, and so you have to, for preservation, ensure that you live your life within the constraints of your consecration, you know. And the reason being, again talking about flow, I think we mentioned Psalm 36 verse 9. It says, for with you is the fountain of life, okay, the fountain of life giving water. In your light we see light. So there's life flowing, there's a light expression, and He is the source of that life. He is that fountain of living water. And the Bible says, out of your belly shall spring forth rivers of living water. Now, in doing this, you know, making sure that we understand how our connectivity is ensured and how we sustain that flow, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. It says, wherever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So it's not in our strength that we're able to remove the obstacles, the obstructions, but it's in our turning in His direction, in our focusing on the one that is our life, focusing on the one that is our light. It's in His light that we see light, okay? It's in His life that we are able to connect with life. But it's in turning and focusing on Him, not being distracted, not being misaligned, and that's so important. So it's a condition of the heart, you know. So the veil is related to the heart, okay, and one who pursues the Lord and wants to participate in His service must bring their hearts along with them. So your engaging with Him is through your heart. With the heart, the Bible says, man believe, with the heart confession is made unto salvation. So the part of your being that God is interested in is in your heart. Okay, it's not coming with your service. There's a lot of people come with service. There's a lot of people who are caught up in religion and they're performing, doing things for God. God is interested in who you are becoming so that you can be an expression of His life. You can be an expression of His authority and power. He called them to be with Him. Hello, somebody. The Bible says the scribes and the Sanhedrins recognized that these men, though they were not learned, had been with Him. So it's in your being with Him, it's who you're becoming in His presence, that you are able to give expression to His attributes. So important that we understand it, because there's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that the many doctrines, the false teachings, you know, the religious, you know, what I call it, citadels of learning, you know, and so many, you know, schools of thought out there have caused us to see or have a perspective that may not be inappropriate, you know, that may not be in line with the scripture. And so it's with the heart. So a person comes, his heart comes, but his ways of doing things also come with him. So we must be aware of that. We live in the world, the Bible said, but we are not of the world. So we have been influenced by the world greatly in our nurturing, our upbringing, and all of that. So when we come, we cannot be ignorant of that impact. But the Lord says, come as you are. Okay? And so we must see that God only wants our hearts. Okay? All the other things have to be removed and broken by Him. So it's Him that does that transforming work. It is Him that deals with us. Okay? And all of our viewpoints, our methods have to be broken by God. You know, it says the humble will he teach in the way. So you humble yourself. You come, you know, how does the apostle put it? It says, all that he knows, he counts, you know, them as dung before the excellency of the knowledge of God. Oh, praise be to God. May we understand that difference. All that our achievements, our skills, our talents, our abilities, and what we're able to do not, you know, it's not what God is looking for when you come into a relationship with Him. We use that to survive. We use that to get around, across, to succeed in our physical world. But we are spirit beings, and so we need to understand the things that nourish us, that connect us with life, that help us to stand firm in our walk with Him and sustain the flow of that life, you know. So all these viewpoints and methods have to be taken away by God, and He just wants our hearts in a broken condition. So there's a posture of the heart that's required to walk with God. So from the very beginning, God has just one purpose in His work, and that is to work Himself into us. He is the one that does the work of building His realities, His attributes into us. For this reason, He must gain the heart so that He will be able to work Himself into us. The Bible says it is Him both in you to will and to do His good pleasure. It is Him that even causes you to desire, to hunger, to thirst after. Am I talking to somebody here? All right. So it is Him in you. He causes you to will, to have the desire, and He is the one that will perform. The Lord help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. Okay, so we'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and then see how far we can look at these important attributes in our post time. We've been looking at what walking the authority and power that's been given to us, and we're looking at some fundamentals, and now we're trying to consider some important things. It's not the volumes of scripture. Neither is it in the ability to cram scriptures, no, but it's your depth of conviction in the scriptures that you have believed in. And may the Lord take you to that exalted position where with you nothing shall be impossible, not because of your own ability or your own strength, but because of the one in whom you have believed. Amen. So I'll see you on the other side of the break. Ta-da!
the door.
If you're joining us, you're welcome back. We just had a break. That's a lovely track by Nathaniel Bassey. It just takes the words from what I were teaching today. Very apt. You know, if you will open up the door of your heart, let him come in. He'll change your life. He'll transform your life. You know, like I said, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So these dynamics we need to understand. And I think the important thing about the connectivity we're talking about and the flow, it's that it's ongoing. It's not when you feel like, it's not when it's convenient for you. You stay connected when convenient, when not. You maintain the flow when convenient, when not. You stay in that conversation when convenient, when not. It's life. You eat to sustain yourself. Without, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. So what sustains your spiritual life is the word of God. Okay, we're going to look at some more scriptures to just throw some emphasis on this. The first one I want to look at is Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay, and he shall turn the heart. Again, the heart is the focus of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their father. So it's a heart-to-heart relationship, okay, that is the focus of the one that will come in the spirit of Elijah. And we know who the Bible is talking about here. It says, lest I come and smite, you know, the earth with a curse. So there's the seasons ahead of us. There's an expectation that God has, but in our dealings, the heart-to-heart dealing that he's doing with us. Now Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, okay, thou shalt be saved. So this is a very popular verse of scripture into how we have come into receiving the salvation message, okay? And what is this God's living message? And it's the revelation of faith for salvation. So there's a requirement that you must have faith for you to be saved, okay? So it's important. And Hebrews chapter 11 makes this very clear. It says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, so each heart coming to God, each heart coming into, you know, unity with God, common union, okay, communion, fellowship. Each heart must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay, so these are very important scriptures. Again, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And then we looked at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And then Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And whoever cometh to Him, comes into His presence, must believe that He is. Now, faith, right, then is birth in response to God's anointed word. So you hear the anointed word, you hear the living word. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, okay, very interesting story here. They had been with Jesus. They knew Him for several 3.5 years of His ministry. They were taught by Him. I remember He gave them some specific instruction. But here is Him, you know, after the resurrection and coming to them. So the Lord had done a great, you know, transforming work in the life of Jesus. And when He came and revealed Himself, they were not able to recognize Him. So the personality they knew and the risen Lord is a different format. You know, that's why I like the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Hello, somebody. God is creating a new form. So the form of the man Jesus, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, is a totally different person. And so they couldn't recognize Him. But the Bible gives us an insight into what's important here. And the Bible talks about Him and sharing with them. And they were talking about their experiences and what they had observed, you know, very much like a lot of us in our lives. There's so much to see, so much we want to talk about, so much because of what we have seen, we have to say. But how much understanding do we have about the deep things that we're observing, you know? So the Bible makes us to understand, says, you know, the question then is on, do we understand what is meant by the breaking of bread? Now, this is important because it's communion. It's coming to a deeper level of fellowship. And the Bible says that these same men that had this conversation on the road to Emmaus, you know, beckoned to Him to come and spend some time with Him, with them. And He did oblige. And the Bible said it was when they broke bread that the eyes of their understanding was enlightened. Anybody catching where we are going here? So they were walking with Him, okay? They did not recognize the format, okay, of the risen Lord. But when they broke bread, okay, so that communion brought them to an elevated dimension in the spirit to perceive who it is there. So the question is, do you know what is meant by the breaking, the bread of life being broken and opening you to see who is on the inside of this living word? The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. All right, so if He asks you to move your hand and you obey, then that is faith, and that is called an appropriate response. Okay, you walk in line, you walk in harmony, you walk in agreement, okay, with Him. He gives you instructions. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except to agree? So there must be some recognition, spirit to spirit, a heart to heart understanding of who it is that we fellowship with. There must be an ability to recognize that personality and to be able to take instructions. Right, so there was a desire, okay, of the heart of God, and that is how we come into the reality of your life and walk with Him. So God had a desire in His heart that we will come to this level of fellowship and communion with Him, okay? But you cannot continue to operate in the same way and react with inappropriate response and expect a different outcome. Now, I want to take that slowly. Remember, we talked about our hearts a few minutes ago, and I said we come with our heart, but we also come with our ways. We come with our limited understanding. Talking about limited, hold, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, sure, glory, hallelujah. Years ago, there's a story, an insight the Lord gave to me so that I could understand what it means to be limited. Okay? Now, imagine 5 blind men coming to identify what an elephant is. So they are blind, means they're handicapped. Are we? So there's a limitation in their ability to perceive what is around them. Now each one of them handles different parts of this elephant. Okay, the guy on the roof looks like, oh wonderful, it reminds me of the days I used to do a lot of building works and roof of, you know, house. And he's quite right in terms of relating where he is, what he's feeling, with previous information. Okay, so it's got limited knowledge to bear and perceive what he's, you know, encountering. The guy holding the trunk feels, oh, it's like a hose, a fire engine's hose, you know. The guy holding one of the legs feels, no, it's a tree. And then the guy who's at the tail is like, what are you talking about, it's a very flexible whip here. So each of them is trying to understand the reality they are confronted with from a limited perspective. They are handicapped in time, they're not visual, and each one is responding based on archived information. So it is with us when we come with our limited knowledge to try and understand an almighty God. We are limited, and except we're helped, okay, of our infirmity, our limitations, then our ability to truly grasp what it is we're observing, what it is we're experiencing, we would need the help of God. And so this is just a typical example to let us understand first that we're limited, okay, in our knowledge, in our level of understanding, by our five senses, and so they are not adequate to help us to describe, to observe, to understand, come to a place of understanding who it is we're dealing with or what it is we're experiencing when we have spiritual encounters. All right, so I just wanted to put out there, so you just cannot continue to operate in the same way using those limited, you know, senses that you have, and you are reacting inappropriately, that's without faith, and then you're expecting a different outcome. So the just must live by faith. So there's an appropriate response. There is the way the believer must respond by faith to the one before whom they stand, before whom they're receiving instruction, the one who prompts you, the one who beckons to you, the one who gives you whispers, the one who gives you dreams. Am I talking to anybody here? Whichever way he chooses to communicate to you in the spirit, you must respond by faith. You must know that he is the one sending signals to you, he's the one you're having conversation. This takes time in your walk with him to come to that place, and we constantly pray that the Lord by his spirit will give us understanding of how we are to respond by faith appropriately. So there is an appropriate response, and there's also what will be inappropriate according to faith. Okay, so you've heard the report, and then you are not sure how things are going to go, but the just that live by their faith, they hold on to the counsel of God. It says, who has believed our report? To them the arm and the strength of the Lord will be revealed. So the power to confront, to deal with the challenge before you, is based on whose report you are listening to. Am I talking to somebody here? So your world is going to give you a report, your world is going to present something to you, and based on what you're experiencing, observing through your limited knowledge, and am I talking to anybody here, there's how you can perceive things. But there's a higher dimension. Now in the higher realm, the one with whom you're walking has no limit. There is nothing that is hidden from him. He is called the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and finisher of your faith. You know, so when you now come alongside him, it's in his light that you see light. So it's from his perspective, his elevated position, that you're able to see beyond what are the obstacles, what are the observations, to see what is possible. And remember, he is in a realm when with him nothing shall be impossible. Now, if you can believe by faith, then nothing would be impossible for you. But everything about your believing has to line up. Now this is where a lot of us fall out of sync. We confess the scriptures, we say that we believe, but when you look at your thoughts, when we look at your confessions, you know, the things you are saying is contrary. So they're out of sync. They're not in alignment. What you believe, regardless of what you're hearing, regardless of what the report is, must all line up for the faith of God to be demonstrated, for the power and authority of God to be released into that situation. I hope I'm communicating to somebody here. And this is why we just constantly ask that the Lord by his spirit will help us. Okay, so There are many illustrations in the Bible that help us to understand some of these limitations we have, just like the five blind men, and I will just see how much we can take in our session today. But if we do not make that shift in our mindset, that shift in our heart's posture, then we will not walk by faith and we cannot access what is already being provided for us. Okay, so your faith will have to be tested at some point, what it is you say you believe, okay, to know the depth of your, you know, conviction, the level of your application. Okay, you are a son of the earth, and you are the son of God. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That is what the scripture says concerning you. So your light must shine, okay, as the light to your world. Your salt, you must bring preservation to life situations and circumstances. Your light will not shine as it should, okay, if you're not responding appropriately, okay. Bible says, my sheep hear and they know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not respond to. So he speaks to you his voice, and you respond in righteousness. It deepens your fellowship with him, okay? It increases your spiritual sensitivity to his voice. So the more you fellowship with him, the more you are sensitive to his voice, okay? A mother, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, a mother that spends hours with her baby, if you take that one baby into, you know, a daycare with several other babies, when her own baby cries, that mother can singularly identify that baby's voice out of all the babies there. That's from the proximity, the hours spent in that intimate relationship. Am I talking to somebody? And so God knows each one of us intimately, but we need to know him by the way we commune with him, we unite with him, we fellowship with him. And I pray that he will continue to make us sensitive to his speaking, to his voice, okay, so that we do not respond inappropriately to the voice of a stranger. So he speaks so that you know his voice. He responds in righteousness. It deepens your fellowship with him. It increases your spiritual sensitivity to his voice. Okay, that is how we continue in our spiritual maturity unto the perfect man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now this is something I would leave, I'm not sure how much time we have today, but it's something we're going to look at in more detail. We'll look at a couple of encounters that people had, but I remember the story in the Revelation chapter 1 is really worth studying in some depth. You know, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, okay, and a great voice that was an invitation. He was interested, okay, it was interesting, okay, that after his response to the voice, he now comes as a reaction to his appropriate response to the spiritual prompt. So I'll take this slowly. He was in the Lord's day and he heard, you know, a voice because he responded appropriately. He turned and stayed focused on the voice. He withdrew, okay, to focus on the one resident in his heart. All right, and in turning, he now engaged, he locked in to see the spirit as the one whose voice, okay, who prompted him, okay, would have him see. So the one who's inviting you wants you to come to a deeper level of communion and fellowship, and so that initial prompting is getting your attention. So your appropriate response is to turn in the direction where that voice was coming from, okay, to engage, to see in the spirit now. Okay, so you're making a physical turn, but you're engaging in the spirit to see whose voice that prompted you in the first place, and he will cause you to see things from his perspective. So he began to be shown things, okay, by the one whose voice he had responded to. So we choose to turn to you and we choose to align. And this is what I want to leave with us today, lovely people. It's much more than just the words of God. There's a personality that we're choosing to, you know, respond to, okay? And we need to engage in this fellowship, this communion. But there has to be a separation from all the distractions. So the same thing, you know, the Lord is prompting us. So a deep study of that, you know, encounter of John is very, very helpful. You know, and we will gain a lot from it. So this is the Revelation chapter 1, and it talks about introduction. But when you look at, you know, verses 9 to 16, so it's worth reading the purpose for this documentation. So his encounter was documented for our learning. Okay, so you saw the golden lampstands, the lampstands, the number of them were 7, and it was giving insight to what that means, the purification, you know, being made holy, the burning incense of the Lord. There's a lot that can be understood from coming to that. And we see this in, like I said, Revelation chapter 1 from 9 to 16. It says, I, John, your brother and companion, right, in the suffering and the kingdom. Okay, so he's a brother in our suffering and kingdom and patience, endurance that are ours in Jesus. So there's some things we're going to go through, you know, says that we may know him and what the power of his resurrection, fellowship in the sufferings. Hello, somebody. Okay, so there's a lot you will go through, but it's because you are being made. It's because of the transformation you're going through. It's because of the elevated position into which you are being exalted to come and, you know, reign and rule from that perspective. Come up hither. Let me show you great and mighty things. There's several invitations. Come, let's reason together. You know, even if your sins are crimson, he asks us to confess, to turn. You know, when you begin to study these requirements, it's for your growth. It's for your maturing, is for that change and that maturity to take place. And so we need to be very, very diligent in our seeking him, diligent in making sure we stand before him for his transformative work, which is way beyond our comprehension. But it's only as we study the word that we get each week, each day, each session, assimilating, meditating on the word of God, that we come to understand the purpose for which we have been invited to this exalted position, you know. And it's amazing. We'll just take another break now, and then we'll come back and maybe just have a little peep into Revelation chapter 1 and look at verses 9 to 16, and then see how we can round up today's session, making sure that we've paused to understand some important things: connectivity, faith, and sustaining the very life and power and authority that's been given to us to give expression in us and to our world. Catch you on the other side of the break.
With my Savior ever near to guide me, I am safe, whatever may betide me, from the storms and tempest he will hide me, in the hollow of his hand. In the hollow of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, I am safe, whatever may betide. In the hollow of his hand, arms of love he doth enfold me, words of peace his voice divine hath told me, and I am safe, for God himself doth hold me, in the hollow of his hand. I in the hollow of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, oh, I am safe, whatever may betide me, in the hollow of his hand. And he will guide my soul and leave me never. From his love no power on it shall sever, and I know he'll keep me now and ever, in the hollow of his hand. hand in our Lord, of his hand in our Lord, of his hand, oh, I am safe, whatever may be tied in our Lord, of his hand, I in our Lord, of his hand, oh, in our Lord, of his hand, oh, I am safe, whatever may be tied me. In the hollow of his hand.
Good morning, you're joining us. The lovely break and a lovely old hymn there, in the hollow of his hands. Yes, we must, you know, yield ourselves into the master's hand. He's the one that will frame us, break us, remold us, and he's the one that can transform our lives even to his perfect will. And so Father, we just thank you for the insight your word brings and revelation, and pray that your, you know, children may yield themselves to the leading of the Spirit, so that we can be those that know how to not just stand in your presence, the protocols required for connectivity, for walking in faith, you know, but also how to sustain that flow of life. You know, we have to yield to your great work in us, you know, by your grace, without, you know, your ability working in and through us. And we have to believe in your ability to frame our being into what you have originally desired. You are the one who has the blueprint of our life. And so Father, we ask that we'll be able to yield ourselves. So I was looking at a very important scripture here, you know, while we're looking at all of this, and I think it's John chapter 1 and verse 12. It states that to all who accept Jesus and believe in his name, God grants the right to become as his children. The Bible, King James, says, to as many as believe, he gave them power to become sons of God. So there is a becoming. I've mentioned it several times. There's a process, there's a work, and he's the master builder. He's the one that can build your life, build your destiny in accordance with his original blueprint and design. You know, his spiritual adoption comes purely through faith. Okay? No human lineage or efforts. It's not by power, it's not by might. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. It's of God that you mercy. It is God in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God is the one that is doing the work. So let's not be carried away by any school of doctrine or anything that makes us, you know, come into this what I call the performance trap, where we want to do for God, we want to, as if it is by our ability. No, it is we yielding to his plan, it is we yielding to his movements, his beckonings, his whispers, okay, his instructions, his communication, in that quiet place that we're being molded, we're being transformed, and the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Okay, so we were talking just before the break about the revelation of Jesus Christ, John's revelation of Jesus Christ, and the documentation in Revelation chapter 1 is really something that we need to spend some time in. You know, I just want to highlight a few points in there. It says, I, John, this is from verse 9, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion, I mentioned, in the suffering and the kingdom and patience, endurance, okay, that is ours in Christ. So all of us who have been invited into this salvation redemptive package, this is something we will all go through as part of our process. Okay, he says, I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of the Lord, okay, because of the word of God and the testimony. Sorry about that. Because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He says, on the Lord's day I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So this is your prompt. You get a prompt, you hear a voice, you hear something that gets your attention, okay, which said, you know, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. So that was the instruction he was given. Then he turned around to see the voice that was speaking to him. Hello, somebody. You might hear that sound. Did you turn? It's not your turn till you turn. The veil will not be removed till you turn your heart, till you focus on Him. We need to understand this process, okay? And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone who looked like the Son of Man, and dressed in a robe. So he now, because of his appropriate response, can you see how he's journeying into a journey of revelation? There was more revealed to him because he turned. May we be able to turn our heart so that the veils may be removed, so that we can come to an understanding. It's a heart-to-heart relationship. It's a heart-to-heart, a deep calling to deep, you know, invitation here. And we must understand the protocol. We must understand how to respond, you know. And so there's a lot. We'll find some time to look at it in more detail, you know. So without the word was nothing made that was made. It's this living word that will make you become who He has desired you to be from the foundation of the world. Remember, He says, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for your life. But you need to turn in that spiritual realignment, okay? Respond appropriately to His invitation, the promptings in the spirit, so that you can come into an understanding of this ongoing conversation. He wants to speak to you about certain things. He wants to reveal certain things about yourself, about your situation, about your circumstances, about some of the things that you're being challenged with, some of the things you're going through. But you need to be coming consistently to this place. The Bible says, they that dwell where? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, hello, what are you saying of Him? You're going to say what He has communicated to you. So like I said, we cannot preach this word, okay, or teach this full gospel of truth, okay, which is about the person of truth, okay, and not release life to those that hear us. The Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Finally, in our next few minutes, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith. So you are saved by the grace of God. Okay? It's not you yourself. You were saved by God's unmerited favor, God's grace extended to you. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It is in Him both to will and to do His pleasure. All right? And, you know, we need to understand this, that God is the one who is beckoning to us to do His will and His pleasure. He grants you the desire. He sensitizes you to the invitation, and He expects an appropriate response. And the Lord will help us to respond appropriately in Jesus' name. So Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, he says, it is Him both to will and to do, is derived from that same scripture, okay, which states that God's work in you, right, to will and to act on behalf of His good purpose. So God is the one who works in you, and He's the one that will act on behalf of His own good purpose. This emphasizes that God provides the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, highlighting the belief that humans' will and action are supported by this divine influence, by His sovereignty. It serves as a reminder that true fulfillment comes from God's guidance and empowerment in our lives. Lovely people, I'll leave you with those scriptures. You know, I hope you've been able to get my pause, so that we connect, we walk in faith, and we sustain the flow of life. Okay, so we've had a lot of teaching. We've got a lot of scriptures. I'll suggest you take some time to go back into the archives. The Lord bless you as you do so in Jesus' name. So lovely people, it's been a wonderful time with you today. I hope we've been able to glean, you know, some very important nuggets from the scripture, the Lord helping us. And I pray that the Lord will cause these words like a seed in your heart to hit that good spot, that good ground, and bring forth fruit in due season, insight, revelation, understanding, walking in authority and power. Till we meet again, same time on the same channel. Lovely people, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and bye for now.
sing together. You make it your prayer.
Let it be your prayer.